深堀 FM の第113回です。このエピソードは2分後から英語の会話になります。ゲストには簡単な英語で話していただいていますが、少しでもエピソードがわかりやすくなるように、あらすじを最初で日本語に説明しておきます。あらすじいらないよって方はですね、2分後から再生してください。で、ゲストはですね、ウクライナ出身のディミトロさんです。ウクライナといえば、ロシアによる侵攻が2年前にありました。で、今も続いています。当時もともとですね、ディミトロさんはアジャイルコーチ、コンサルタントとして活躍されていました。ウクライナへの侵攻が始まった後は、軍でですね、150人の部隊のリーダーを務めています。その際にですね、もともとアジャイルコーチとして身につけてきたアジャイル関連のスキル、まあ、リーダーシップなどを軍に応用した話をしてくれています。前半はですね、組織の課題についてコミュニケーションをどう解決したか。で、また、軍の組織の内容も話していただいていて、スクワット、プラトゥーン、カンパニーっていう部隊の話をしてくれています。スクワットはだいたい7人前後ぐらい。プラトゥーンってのは30人ぐらい。カンパニーってのは150人ぐらいの組織単位です。で、最終的にカンパニーの150人部隊のリーダーを務めていてですね、もともと30人のプラトゥーンっていう小隊のリーダーだったんですけども、コミュニケーション能力が優れていたので、カンパニーのリーダーやらないかってボスに言われたそうです。で、後半はですね、何をどう解決したいかっていうところで、特にですね、対応が後手後手に回っていたところを解決したいと言っています。リアクティブっていう言葉を使って後手後手のことを私は表現しています。でですね、プロアクティブに、まあ、つまり先手を取れるようにするためにはどうしたらいいかっていうのを後半で話しています。3つ話があってですね、1つは明確さ、クラリティですね、を与えること。2つ目は心理的安全性を確保すること。最後は能力を高めることっていうところを話しています。で、明確さで言えば、例えば、まあ、トレロっていうウェブサービスありますね、あの看板のボードを出すようなサービス。あれを使ったら、どんどん良いプラクティスが広がって、上の舞台、まあ、つまりより広い舞台で使われたみたいな話もしてくれています。で、その他もですね、いろいろ話してくれてますので、ぜひお聞きください。で、なお、あの、収録時点では公開されていなかったんですけども、このエピソードの公開時点では、リージョナルスクラムギャザリング東京の講演も公開されています。私はもともとそちらの講演を聞いていてですね、めちゃくちゃ面白いなと思ったので、ポッドキャストでもお願いした次第でございます。ということで本編行ってみましょう。Let's get started to recording. I'm really glad to joining this podcast today. Thank you, Dimitro.
Yeah, and thank you, Iwashi, for inviting and having a great opportunity to share my story and story about Ukraine to your listeners.
Thank you. The reason why I invited Dimitro-san here is that I'm really moved by the talk Dimitro-san did in the conference held in Japan. So I really want to spread the idea of your talk to the listeners living in Japan. But instead of...diving into the core episode shortly. I want you to do a really quick self-introduction. So could you give me a little self-introduction?
Sure, Iwashi-san. Yes. So my name is Dmitro. I'm Ukrainian and I'm from Ukraine. And at the end of 2022, I moved to Denmark. I have experience in IT. So I'm electronic engineer by education.But I worked for 13 years in IT industry as a developer, tester, scrum master, manager, director. And then I started small consulting business with my friend. And this is what I did before full-scale invasion started on February 24th in 2022. And after that, I moved my family, my wife, two kids, and dog Hannah.Which is she is Shiba Inu, and Hana is like flower from as I know flower from the Japanese, so she's Hanako, baby of flower. So I moved them to Denmark to my friends, and I serve and I went to the army for 8 months, and I applied my knowledge from business, especially agile skills and leadership skills in the army.Where I was an officer and company lead of 150 people. Yeah. And now I'm back to my family, to Denmark, and I support my ex-soldiers by other means, by buying different equipment. Yeah. So this is short about me.
Okay. Thank you. Just a confirmation. You didn't have any experience in the military before the invasion, right?
Yes, I didn't have.I had a small training. This is what you have in Ukraine in university. When you are a student, you should decide whether you will take a military class for 2 years, 1 day in a week, or you will go to the army after university. And I decided to take a military class. It was back in 2008 when I was a student, and I became officer in reserve. So I had some trainings, but it was 15 years ago, and I didn't remember anything. And also my father is a military man, so I knew some words and concepts, what I heard when I was a kid from my father. But that's all. I'm not a professional military.
Okay. I think the almost for 15 years after, you know, studying the major concept, maybe you almost forgot everything.
Yes, yeah, I didn't remember anything. So I had a specialization in anti-aircraft, but yeah, I didn't remember anything. So I had to learn from scratch when I started in 2022. And this was the case for many Ukrainians, because no one believed that there would be such a full-scale invasion. So we were not really prepared. Before it started, we had army of 250,000 people. And then after full-scale invasion in February 22, we have drafted as Ukraine 600,000 people.
600,000, yeah? Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So, and it means that a lot of IT guys, developers, builders, drivers, lawyers, teachers, they were drafted to the army. So our army became non-professional. And maybe you know there is a saying that a professional army is starting the war, but non-professional is finishing. Because usually the professional army is died in the first engagements, and then non-professionals like teachers, IT guys, they are continue on and carry on. This is what we have in Ukraine right now.
Okay, I see. So everyone came from the every industry. Today, I'm going to talk, we'd like to talk about the story after invasion, especially so you apply the software development or agile mindset or concept of management 3.0 to the army. So my first question is that after joining the military, so what did you find that the major problem in your organization?
Yeah, so first, of course, it was a chaotic because a lot of people that do not know what this military is about were joining. So there were problems with like communication, for example. It was difficult to find people, to give them orders. So one thing that I started to do, I just started to build communication channels. We used the Signal app, which is one of the... We were told that this is the only app that we are allowed to use because of security reasons. So I started to build different channels depending on the units, depending on what type of education you have. And then it helped to speed up the execution of tasks and finding the people. So this was one of the things that I found very not working, yes, in the army. And another is, of course, the level of competence, because as I said, we were not professional military guys. And then I understood that, oh, okay, I need somehow to work on the level of competence of the soldiers. So I became a company lead. Even I was had the lowest rank, officer rank. I was a platoon lead first. So maybe we should say what is the ranking. Yeah, so first, it's a squad, the lowest level of the team unit. It's a squad.
So how many members in that squad?
Yeah, so it's up to 10 members.
Okay, up to 10.
Yeah, and this is where I started to build some analogy with my work in IT. Kind of, oh, it looks like a scrum team, 7 plus minus 2. Oh, yeah, and then after squad, it goes platoon.
Platoon, uh-huh.
Yeah, and platoon is has three, four squads. And then I thought, oh, it's like a product area, working three teams working on the same product. Yeah, and I started to be as a leader on platoon level because I had the lowest rank. But because I was very good in communication, finding people, performing tasks, my commander approached me and asked if I would like to lead the company, which is the next level, where we have 150 people and 15 squads inside.
15 squads.
Yeah. And then I thought, oh, it's like release train, it's like agile release train, if you know scaled agile framework concept.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was a release train engineer before this, leading 14 IT teams. And I thought, okay, it's probably the same as in IT, it's just different tasks, 15 squads, yeah. And this is actually, it was a funny story how my commander approached me, and he said that, Dima, would you like, so Dima is another name for Dimitro, Dima, would you like to be company lead? And I said, oh, you know, I just started to be a platoon lead with 30 people, and now you ask me for 150 people. Can I think about it? And he said, and he was with a cigarette and he was smoking, and said, of course, you can think about it until this cigarette is finished. So I had a long time of 30 seconds to think about it. And I decided, okay, yeah, so I will be company lead. And then, yeah, back to your question on what the challenges are. So there were a lot of reactiveness, a lot of questions to the officers, like to me, to the company lead, a lot of questions to the platoon leads. I have 5 platoons, so I have 5 officers, the same guys as me, but just on platoon level. And there were a lot of reactions. And I thought that, okay, I would like to change it, that we are more proactive and less reactive. And I decided that I will do it via enabling leadership on every level. And when I say on every level, is on squad, on platoon, and then, of course, on company. And I think depending on your experience and context, everyone will do it differently. But I decided that I will enable leadership by working on 3 things. First is by providing clarity.
Mm-hmm. Clarity, okay.
Yeah, clarity to all my soldiers and sergeants. Second is by building psychological safety, so they are not afraid of taking responsibility. They are not afraid of that they will make mistake and that someone will blame them. So this was important. And the third is raising competence, because as I said, we were not professional.
So they're like amateur, right?
Yeah, like trainings, etc. Because if I would like to give them authority, responsibility to take decisions, I need to know that they have the knowledge, necessary knowledge to perform the tasks. So this is 3 items that I saw we are lacking. Yes, and then I worked on.
Okay, I see. I'd like to dive into each topics one by one. So the first one about clarity, how do you implement the clarity? It's like a transparency, I think. How do you apply this idea to your team?
Yeah, the reason I wanted to work on clarity is, again, if I would like my platoon leads, my sergeant is a leader of squad, yeah, the lowest level, my sergeants to be leaders, I need to make sure that they have necessary information for taking the right decision. And then you're right, the transparency, yes, the visualization is one of the ways is to introduce it. And of course, then I thought about Kanban. Oh, okay. Visualization, transparency. Oh, I need to implement Kanban in my unit. So this is what I started to do. And we used Trello.
Trello, one of the web services.
Yeah, and it's like online standalone web tool, which is free of use. Of course, security reasons, you can say, oh, in the military, maybe not the best to use.
Okay.
But I didn't worry at that time about this. So what we started to do, we had a lot of tasks among me and my platoon leads, and I wanted to visualize these tasks. So we see in what state it is, what is the deadline. Quite often deadline was very pressing, like we get a task today and we need to do it today. And then we also put some outcomes of the task so others can see how other platoon leads did it and they can learn. And so it was knowledge sharing. So we created a Kanban board for my platoon leads and we put these tasks. And you can say, oh, yeah, but it's kind of not a rocket science. But you should understand, this is not IT guys. I had few two of my five Platon Leeds IT guys and three others were civil engineers, teacher. So they never used it before. They said, oh my God, I can drag and drop the cart from one column to another. It's amazing. It's magic. And you will see it on another computer. Yeah, so it was the first step. We started to miss less of deadlines. This was recognized by our commanders on battalion level. And then rumors spread and battalion approached us and said, you know, we have problems with our vacation applications. Because our soldiers, they could have 2 days of vacation in 2 months. Otherwise, we work 24/7. Yes. And then in battalion, it's around 600 people. And there is a chain of command that needs to approve these applications. And quite often, they were lost or missed deadlines. Soldier needs to go to vacation tomorrow, but the approval gets in a week afterwards. Yes. So we did Kanban board for vacation approvals with stages where who needs to approve, reasons for vacations, etc., etc. And it started to work. And then rumors spread further.
More higher level.
And then on brigade level, where we have 3,500 people.
Oh, okay. It's like a big company.
Okay. Yes. They had the same problems with vacation because it's for more people and they need to approve what is battalion is giving them. And they had several battalions. And so we did the same on brigade level. So this is one of the things that we did on Clarity is to introduce in Kanban.
It's really interesting that you got accustomed to the IT service Trello because I think the half of the engineers are familiar with Trello because I think they have experience to use that, but outside the IT industry, it's not famous.
Mm-hmm.
But once they started to use the drag and drop the card, from the column to the next column, it's really easy for them to use the application, and it's really interesting for them to use that.
Yeah, you can imagine a 50 plus years old army school. Professional militaries, our commanders, kind of, they started to learn about Trello, how amazed they were, etc. Yes.
Another question here. So before, using Trello, the Kanban board, so how did they manage the vacation of their soldiers, like over 600 people?
Yeah, so it was just a mess. So it was somewhere in signal groups where you need to put a picture of the written application for vacation of the soldier. And then each platoon lead does it to the company lead, then company lead send it to battalion lead send it to the brigade lead. And it's just lost in different channels and everybody does it differently. So it was a bit of mess.
I see.
Yeah. And it was not visible for soldiers if I will go for approval on what stage it is, whether it's blocked. If blocked, why? Why it's for a day already on this stage? Can we resolve it somehow?
It really affects their engagement.
Yeah. And then another thing what we did with Clarity is implementing short feedback loops. So for me, it was important to get feedback if anything is not clear for squads and platoons. And we had daily stand-ups twice a day. One at 6:30 a.m. in the morning, 6:30. Another at 9 p.m.
Okay.
For me and platoon leads, we had these daily stand-ups where we checked, what is going on, any questions, etc. If it was a tough period, something really bad were happening, or we had to do a lot of things, then we had every day, we had a demo retro planning, 15 minutes in total, every day in the evening. Okay, what has been done? What are our learnings and what we are planning to do next day? So this is again about feedback, loop, and clarity. And also all my soldiers, they had my phone number. And they could call me 24/7. And the reason that I gave it to them is to see what information I failed to provide to platoon leads that they ask me, and platoon lead cannot bring it. So I used it as a learning opportunity and see, okay, what is not clear, why it's not clear for soldier, why surgeon didn't provide it, why platoon lead didn't provide it. And then I understood that, oh, because I was not clear, or maybe I need to give feedback to platoon leads that he needs to communicate better.
I see. So it's like you are going to find the root cause of the information. Why this information is not provided.
Yes.
And I'm also surprised at how frequently you did the daily stand-up. Twice a day. Maybe it's kind of extreme agile.
Yeah, because the environment was very uncertain. A lot of things were changing. So it was not enough just to have it once in a day. A lot of things will happen during the day, even during the night. And it means that you need to check in the morning as well and check what is happening in the night. When we are in IT team, during the night we sleep. Nothing happens. When you are in a military unit in war, then during the night we not sleep. We never sleep. Yeah, 24/7.
It's 24/7.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we have shifts of duty. Half of your people are on duty, half are having rest or trainings, and after that, then they change, so daily shifts. That is why we had twice a day. So now, when I help in companies with agile changes, and the teams sometimes say, oh, once in a day, why we need to? It's too often we meet. and I bring this example. Okay, it's not 6:30 in the morning, and it's not in 9 p.m. every day.
So. I'm curious about the planning, because so in the typical agile development, like it's like a 1 week sprint, so we are going to have a sprint planning like on Monday, and then we are going to do some retrospect on Friday, but it's a week plan. How about planning in your organization?
Yeah, this is a very good question, Iwashi, because this is the first thing that I used when I became to the army. It was very chaotic. And soldiers and surgeons, they expected some long-term plan communication. They approached me and say, oh, Dima, what will happen in a week? I just would like to understand. Yeah. And I said to them that, sorry, our planning horizon is maximum a day, because it doesn't make sense to plan for longer, because things are changing a lot. And this is where I used my knowledge of Canavian framework. It's a sense-making framework developed by Dave Snowden, Wells scientist, which says that there are five different environments in what we usually operate, like simple, complicated, complex, and chaotic, and then disorder when we don't know in what environment we are. So I knew that I'm in chaotic environment. And in chaotic environment, according to this model, you shouldn't plan because everything is changing. And this knowledge was very helpful to me, because I could accept it and I could be strong in saying that, sorry, we will not have any plans for a week. For now, we plan on a daily horizon. And then over time, when things more stabilized, then we moved from chaotic environment to complex. And this is where we could plan for a longer period. But when it was a tough, hard period, then we moved back to a daily demo retro planning for a while, like for 2 weeks, while we have this period where a lot of things changing. We had to review what happened, what are the learnings to be smarter, and what is the next day planning. And then we again meet in the evening for 15 minutes in total of this demo retro planning.
The things are so changed quickly. So sometimes you are going to a transit, like some phase, like a chaotic to the complicated, but after moving to the complicated phase, so suddenly the phase went back to the chaotic phase, right?
Yes, so it could go back to chaotic as well, so because something changed, we need to move in the morning from all our positions to some new positions, and make sure that soldiers have a good place for living, they can make food for themselves, so there is a security, etc. then this is very tough period. You need to do a lot of changes. This is when you need to meet more often. But as soon as we settle, then we say, okay, for now, we don't need this period. Daily stand-ups is enough. And we can make hopefully some long-term planning. When I say long-term planning, like in 1 week, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, it really makes sense. And unfortunately, at the time of releasing this episode, maybe we can't watch the movie. I mean, we can watch your talk on YouTube. But in the future, I think we can watch your talk. Actually, in the talk, it's not my favorite, but I really surprised that the word deadline is right now. So mm-hmm. in the presentation. Yeah. So usually, we use deadline like so deadline is next Tuesday or next Friday or by five or but deadline is right now. So what? I was so surprised that the so quick or it's just a moment.
Yes. So yeah, this is interesting part about army, and this is example of why it's chaotic area environment. Sometimes you get an order from your commander, which explains the order and says deadline right now. And then you're what? And then they expect that I have read their mind. I know what they will ask. I prepared everything. And as soon as they put my message and say, oh, yeah, here you go. I prepared it. Of course, it's not working like that. So I pushed back a lot to my commanders. And I, for example, one of the messages that I shared in my talk was find a medical instructor without education, a person who will go for a training for medical instructor education, and deadline right now. Yes. So they wanted me just to open the list of soldiers, pick up the surname and send without talking to people, etc. So I spent half a day, not right now. My commander was mad.
You asked the members in your team that, so are you going to apply this, the medical position?
Yes, yeah. So I tried to find people that will like this because this is a changing of their life, yes. And you also need to not afraid of blood and other stuff, yes, to make an injection. So I spent half a day talking to people and I found several that kind of liked to go for this training. So I had to pick up one of them and send to commander. So commander was mad because I didn't just provide a list or a person from the list. But over time, they learned that I will not do right now. I will talk to people and it will take time. But the result will be much better because people will be much more motivated when they given this task. And the same was with sappers, like demining guys. Yeah, it was. I was given 30 minutes to find two guys. And I spent a day again,
okay.
Yes, but because this is a life-changing event, it's a very dangerous job you are making. There is a joke that you are making to the sapper, the guy that is demining. They in life, they make two mistakes. One, when they choose the profession, and the second, when they do a mistake during demining. Yes, so it is a very dangerous job. So, yeah, I spent a day, and I found three guys that really love to go there. So I had to choose between three and give the names of two. And they are still operating. They love their job. And yeah, they're very grateful that they have this opportunity.
Let me confirm that. So you said the demining, it's like get rid of the explosive thing.
Yes. Like artillery shells, mines, etc. So now Ukraine is number one in the world in number of explosives in the ground, etc. So this is what Russians leave after them. So we will need decades, a lot of years to check and to remove these explosives after we win the war.
It's really excellent that for you to ask the people about the motivation, and I think this is why you quoted the management 3.0 by Daniel Pink in the talk. So you really focused on the motivation of the people.
Yeah. And I remember when one of my commanders came to me and said, oh, Dima, I know how to motivate people. You just put
okay.
them sanctions and give them rewards. And I said, what? It's carrot and stick approach? And he said, what? I don't know. I know that you can do sanctions and rewards. And I said, oh, very interesting. I don't believe in this. Yes. So instead, I worked on intrinsic motivation. This is from also Daniel Pink book. I think it's Dive, the name of the book. So it's about not extrinsic, but intrinsic. Inside us, we have motivation. And he said that you should have three parameters in order to have intrinsic motivation. The first one is autonomy, to decide how to work on the things. Second one is mastery. This is competence that I worked on. And the third one is purpose, why you are doing this. Yeah, the purpose was clear for all of us. We wanted to defend our country. The autonomy was more or less good, yeah, but the biggest problem was incompetence, in mastery, that I have a skills to do the job. That is why I focused on raising their competence, which then will also bring motivation because they will be more confident in performing the tasks.
Ah, okay, so you brought the three topics, clarity, psychological safety, and competence, but this is a good time to talk about the competence here, because so how did you train or how did you make the people more competent?
So I didn't have an illusion that government can train 600,000 new people, that we can have proper training camp, onboarding bodies, etc., because we had to defend our country. So I started proactively to look for people that can train us. And you may notice that during the talk, our interview, I am saying full-scale invasion. I do not say war started in 2022, because for Ukraine, war with Russia started in 2014. Because they occupied Crimea, which is Ukrainian territory, and they occupied Donbas region, which is eastern part of Ukraine, in 2014. And since then, we are in war with them. But in 2022, they started a full-scale invasion, where they started to attack from north also, from northeast, from Belarus territory, and they attacked Kyiv, which is the capital of Ukraine with 5 million people, etc. So, and I started to find veterans that were in war since 2014, and they were wounded or they already kind of retired, but they have a great knowledge. And I found such guys with different knowledge in tactics, in medicine, in defending block post, guard posts, etc. And also I found a abandoned hospital, and I asked a municipality if it's okay that we will use it. And on basis of this hospital, we created a training base. And every Saturday, we had a trainings where these veterans came and we trained the soldiers, officers, sergeant. First, we started with the company, but over time, again, rumors spread. Then other companies in the battalion started to ask, oh, Dima, can I send some of my guys? And I said, of course you can. Yes. And then the rumors spread. And then from other battalions in brigade, also people started. So we trained hundreds and hundreds of people. We built a very big curriculum, because I remember there were quite a lot of skepticism when I started to do it, because they said, oh, this veteran, he knows just tactics, or he knows just this type of weapon, and that's it. It's not enough. You need a proper training. But as Buddha says, a jug fills drop by drop. Yeah. And I knew that, yeah, but better this drop than nothing. And then we created a great curriculum, which with a lot of different topics, with a lot of instructors. We also watched YouTube videos, and review them and discuss them. So we had this training base, and then we also train the surgeons. So the idea was afterwards to train the surgeons, that surgeons can train the soldiers, because we couldn't train everybody. So we kind of train the trainer, so they can then on the on regular basis to provide trainings in their units, because it was also very difficult to go on Saturday on training, yeah, because there are duties, etc. Yeah, and then we created a cadence for trainings. So I also insisted that people regularly train, because quite often they are tired, they don't want to train, but this is very important for their health, for their future, that they have necessary skills, that they are competent, they are confident in their skills. That is why I insisted on it. And we had a cadence for trainings. Every day we had some topic that half an hour, 1 hour, but every day, where, except Sunday. So we had Sunday like a relaxing day, even if it was not a weekend, but it was, yeah. So I let some soldiers to go to church, if it was church nearby somewhere. Yeah, so Sunday was like a bit of weekend.
This is like, because you said that the trainer, it's like the Scrum Master is going to train the Scrum Master. Then Scrum Master is going to teach the practice to their team members, like developers or product owners. So it's so similar.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yes, don't give a fish, teach them how to fish. Yes. And then you will not be a bottleneck and they will on their own be able to get the fish, yes, as a metaphor, instead of relying on you that you will provide them with the food. Let teach them how to get the food.
I noticed that how you are consistent, because I think at the beginning of this talk, you said that learning is the key. In this topic, you also said, you know, learn or train. Its key factor is learning or getting a takeaway from the something or feedback, yeah, or something like that.
Yeah, so I think it's Eisenhower, who was U.S. president, but before that, he was the one who commanded U.S. Army during World War II. He said, plan is nothing, planning is everything. Yeah, so it's not like you are making a big plan and then trying to put reality to this plan. It's the process of planning. Yeah, and it means that you're constantly planning. And the horizon depends on how uncertain environment around you. If you are in more certain environment, you can plan for a long time. You can have a vision, a roadmap. Yeah, vision you always have, yes, regardless of the planning horizon. For example, our vision is victory of Ukraine. But your planning horizon right now is a 1 day, because it doesn't make sense to make longer plan. It will change. When it's more stable, then you expand the horizon and you can plan for a longer time. When it's again less stable, you shrink the horizon and you plan for a shorter time.
Thank you. So let's go back to the final topic about the psychological safety. So I'd like to confirm that why this idea of psychological safety is so important in the army.
Yeah. So why I decided to work on it out of three items that I worked on, because I knew about Project Aristotle. This is a project that Google did more than 10 years ago, where they tried to understand what is important for high-performing teams. And they find out five factors, and top one is psychological safety. And psychological safety, in simple words, is when you are not afraid to take a risk, you are not afraid to make mistake, because you know that your team members will not blame you, they will not laugh at you, they will appreciate that you tried out, that you experimented. If you don't have psychological safety, most likely you will not experiment, you will not take a risk, you will not take the responsibility. If I would like to enable leadership on every level, I need to make sure that they do not afraid to take responsibility. And of course, to explain soldiers that are builders, drivers, miners, teachers, all of this concept of psychological safety is difficult and no need for this. So what I said to them, I said, whenever something happens that we can learn from, we should ask ourselves a question, what is the learning we can take from this situation? And in the beginning, it was funny when something bad happened, then sergeant, he said, okay, what is the learning we can take from it? And then the guy is maybe silent, and he said, "Okay, I know what is the learning. This guy screw up." Yes. And he starts to point fingers. Yes.
he's blaming someone.
This is the learning. And he said, "I like this approach, Commander. I like this approach." Yes. I said, "No, no, no. You didn't understand.
It's very opposite."
Yes. We should not find the guilty person. We should find the reason, the systemic problem that led to it. Because if this person did it, most likely it will happen in other units. In my units, they were distributed geographically. I had to drive 120 kilometers in order to get to each unit. So I cannot be with all units. I cannot control. The same platoon leads cannot control. It's impossible. So we need to make a system, a rules, a procedures in the way that there are less possibility for mistakes. And one of the ways to do it is actually to reflect on the learnings and focus on the system, not focus on people that did the mistakes. And this is what we did. And we changed many procedures. We changed them unofficially because we couldn't change them officially. And some of the procedures, they are still from Soviet Union time when Ukraine was under Soviet Union occupation. Yes, like 30 years old, which some of them doesn't make sense, but you need to follow them. Yeah, in the military, is everything strict. So unofficially, we changed a lot of them and we did differently. Some procedures with weapons and the number of mistakes reduced. And and then one of my friends shared such thing as after action review is what actually in NATO armies and in US Army, NATO armies,
NATO. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they have this type of retrospective, and this is a standard. All units need to do it. And then I thought, okay, so it's not like me trying to bring some scrum crappy things from business to the army that my commander saying, "Are you mad? What are the learnings? You just need to punish this guy." What are you talking about? And I said, oh, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not doing it properly. But then I learned this, that NATO armies actually have this standard.
So you are not the only one to use the retrospective, but the biggest army in the world is going to use is actually use the retrospective action review.
Yes. And then I was, oh, okay, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. So yeah, so this is what we worked on, psychological safety. It was not easy because sometimes accidents were really bad, and if it was by more or less by purpose of some soldier, then of course, then you need to put sanctions. If it was not accidental, or if it was like second or third time the same mistake, then of course, it's not easy in the army, but it's really important to have this psychological safety and culture of learning, reflecting what we can learn, what we need to change.
I read your presentation. I think the after action review is written in English, but you translated it Ukrainian, right?
Yeah. So when I was in the army, so me and my friends that were not in the army, we were very enthusiastic about after action review and we wanted to bring it to Ukrainian army. So I tried a lot of things in my units where we practice it. We had it like a pilot. And after that, so we translated the US after action review manual into Ukrainian. We also adopted it to our Ukrainian terminology because some terminology from NATO armies is not applicable to us, so we had to adopt it so it's clear for soldiers what it's about. We also brought some simple facilitation techniques which was not in manual, but kind of how to facilitate the discussion, how not to have this finger point, how to let everyone to speak, what importance of open question and not closed question. So all these small things, we brought because people that are not in IT, that are not in leadership, in agile, they do not know this. And and then we started to print it out and distribute in different units. And the Ukrainian army is actually looking to join NATO So this will be standard for us as we join. But the good news is that we already have, so we already have this movement that it will soon be a standard in Ukrainian army, before we join. Yes, so more and more people are doing after action review. So my friends that are in Ukraine now, they are providing trainings for instructors. So they also invited instructors from NATO armies, from Baltic countries, from Lithuania, Latvia, that also share it how it is done. So yeah, we also tried to spread it. So it's not in my company. In my company was like a pilot where we tried and see whether it's working.
I see. I don't know, you added some simple procedure to the original after action review, but yeah, it's really good practice because amateur or the non-agile people can utilize the expertise from your experience, like agile consultant or leader. So it's really great. And I think this is awesome.
Thank you, Vashisan.
Okay, so the recording time is drawing to an end. So I want you to, if you have something to announce or promote to listeners, do you have anything to spread your thinking to the people living in Japan?
So, yeah, I would like to share a gratitude to Japan, to Japanese people, because since full-scale invasion started 2 years ago, Japan provided financial support to Ukraine on $10 billion. It's humanitarian, different type of support. And actually, Japan is a fourth nation in the number of the nation. So you do a lot. And I just would like to ask you to keep on supporting because, with the war is still going on. Russians, so we have problems with support from US right now because Republican Party is blocking the aid to us. And it is one of the reasons why Russians actually advancing and capturing more and more territory in the east of Ukraine right now. So I share a big gratitude to Japan, Japanese people, and would like to ask to keep on supporting Ukraine. Yeah, so this is what probably I would say. And if you are in agile world, maybe my story shows that you can apply the principles of agile, of leadership, of empathetic leadership. So I knew my 150 people by name, yes. So you can apply them in different areas and benefit from it. It's not only in IT world you can benefit from it. You can benefit everywhere if you apply the principles of transparency, of continuous improvement.
Thank you. I'm going to put the link, the URL, at the bottom of this episode so that the listeners can, you know, give us some donation, additional donation to the Ukrainian country. So please check the URL at the bottom of this episode. I mean the show notes. So please check the URL.
Thank you, Rashi. Yeah, thank you very much.